We have much to be thankful for, and I know we've gone through this week, hopefully with the remembrance of all that God has done for us, the things that we have benefited from, the relationships that we have, the very answered prayers that you've had, but I just didn't feel compelled to move on past the thought of Thanksgiving, just because the turkey is now digested, the cranberry sauce is complete. Our thankful hearts need to remain and actually be even more thankful today than we were yesterday. Because the longer you're in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you realize how dependent we are upon Him. That our very existence, the very air that we breathe, is a gift of His. And we can do nothing apart from Him. You know, John 15 says we're paralyzed without Him. And so a heart of thanksgiving is what propels us to even get up in the morning. Thank you, Lord, that you got us up this morning. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter the challenges you may have, He's already been there and He's already defeated everything that you're going to face. Just trust Him. Abide in Him. That's the beauty of a relationship with God. It's a thankful heart. You know, if we just need to take it back to preschool, you know, wasn't it VeggieTales who had this cute little song? How does it go? A thankful heart is a happy heart. Da 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 da. Who knows the rest of the song? Anyway, but it really is. A thankful heart's a happy heart. Would you agree? Yeah. And so today I hope that you have a happy heart because you have an overflowing thankful heart. If you feel like your heart's just half full of thankfulness, that I just need you to focus on what you're not seeing right now. You know, sometimes we get into this mood where we only see one color, brown. If I were to tell you to look around and see all the brown in this room and then close your eyes and then I called out for you to say, point to the green, you'd be going, well, I didn't look at green, I was looking at brown. Because sometimes in our life, that's all we look at. All we see is the brown in life. We don't see the beautiful array of colors that God has displayed in our world. He doesn't just give us one thing. He gives us all kinds of things, pains, pleasures, blessings, and battles in order to bring out the best in us so we trust in the best of who He is. Today I want us to focus again on truly thankful. And we'll be in various scriptures today. Typically we preach through a book of the Bible verse by verse, but for today I want us to just look at what the Bible says about being thankful. We'll start here in 1 Chronicles 29:16, because as I mentioned last week, I think we're far more have far more abundance than we even recognize. You go anywhere else in the corners of the world, and you realize how blessed you really are, materially, relationally, accessibility to things. We have opportunities here that most of the world does not have. And so, 1 Chronicles 29:16. This is in the time period of King Solomon, where he has been blessed with the privilege of building the temple for God. The grand, glorious temple. The one that was cast in the vision of David, his father. But David didn't get to fulfill that. Now Solomon, in all the splendor, gets to display how wonderful God is by the physical manifestation of this huge temple. And all the world would come to see that and going, your God must be great. And in the midst of all of that, he says this phrase, which I think is very telling even for us, that no matter how great we may have it, realize that that greatness is not because of us. Look at what it says. It says, O Lord our God, all this abundance, and you imagine everything they had displayed there in that time, building this grand, glorious temple. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house, like we're doing something for you. We're being sacrificial and giving you everything. He says, everything that all this abundance we have, providing for you to build you a house for your holy name, comes from your hand and is all your own. There is nothing that we can give to God that He hasn't already given to us. We can't give Him material resources. We say, well, we're gonna be really generous this time. We're going to give God 10%. I'm thinking, He's already given you 100%. Oh, we're going to love God. Well, great. He's already lavishly expressed His love to you. We love Him because He first loved us. There is nothing that we can give to God in thanks, There's nothing we can give to God in praise that He hasn't already provided far more for us. He is not a God who is served by human hands. He doesn't need anything from us. Everything that we have is a gift from Him. And so they're going, well, God, here's what we're presenting to you. Solomon has to acknowledge, but we're really not giving you anything because you gave everything to us to give back to you. You gave us life. You gave us heart. You gave us the ability to even know who you are. And really, we're just acknowledging that by giving it back to you. You realize how much abundance we have. There is no such thing as philanthropy with God in a sense of us giving God anything. He is the philanthropist above all philanthropists. He has given far more than we could ever give to Him. And we don't give out of debt. By the way, because you'll never pay off a debt of what God has done. We give out of gratitude. Just thankfulness. Thankfulness. And so I want us to focus in two key areas today. And you'll see in the back of your program some notes if you want to take those. I want us to talk about, just for a few moments, four observations from Scripture on to be thankful to God for. What should we be thankful to God for? And then I want us to flip the script and say, well, how do we do that? How can we be thankful to God? So this is both a what-to and a how-to message. So we'll get both of those. I could have split this up into two messages, but we're going to get it all in one chunk today. What do we have to thank God for? Like I said, if you feel like a kind of a deficit in your heart that you're not overflowing with thankfulness. I mean, maybe this week was a struggle. You know, you had family members together that don't really get along, or maybe you had to go to several homes because not everybody would be willing to meet in one home. I do pray you didn't talk about politics at all on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, that's not the place for it. You know what the place is for Thanksgiving is? To thank God for who He is. And what He has done. So here are four things that I think the Scriptures are very clear about what we ought to be thankful for. Number one, be grateful to God for the grace He's shown you. It's very clear in many Scriptures, but I'll just use this one that's most common and most known, is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this, not of your own doing, it is the gift of God." Do you realize how much grace God has shed upon us? And we ought to be thankful for it. That's a moment-by-moment, everyday experience that we thank God for the grace that He's given us. The grace He's given us, and we sing it periodically, it's amazing grace. Why is it so amazing? Because there's nothing in this world that replicates it. Doesn't matter how gracious we are with each other, nothing will ever match the amazing grace God has granted to us. Sinners separated from Him, but Him giving us salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what is grace? Grace is everything God does for you, even though you don't deserve it. There's no entitlement with God as if He owes us anything. Grace is God giving you what you need, not what you deserve. Oh, how we call out, God, give us what we deserve. No, don't pray that prayer. Say, God, just grant us our needs because you have promised that. Everything you have comes by grace. Everything God does in you, through you, for you, to you, and by you is by grace. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't work for it. Grace is a free gift. Well, God owed me. God owes you nothing. You brought what into this world? Nothing. And you're going to take nothing out of it. It's grace that He gives you life, and He gives you everything in your life. In Psalm 103, I want you to listen to these words. We don't have it on the screen, but I just want you to hear the words here. In Psalm 103, it lists some of the things that we ought to thank God for in the grace gifts that He gives us. Now, just listen to this. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Oh, how we need to be reminded not to forget, because we get take it for granted, the things He gives. So listen to this list that He gives. He says, who forgives our iniquities, who heals our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with the steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Is anyone thankful for some of these things in this list? This is every day. That we have enough to be thankful for in just that short list, beyond all the other things that he's done for us. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us what we deserve, but he always gives us what we need at the time we need it? If you don't understand grace and you're not overwhelmed with gratitude for God's grace, then you have no idea what in the world he is really doing for you. In one word, what would life be like without him? If he were to remove himself from our world and we were left to ourselves, in one word, what would life be like? Hopeless. We live by grace. With no purpose, no meaning, no way to improve, no future, no heaven. That's what it would be like without God's intervention. But God came and extended his grace. So today we can be thankful to God for his grace to us. Here's the second thing you can be grateful for. We can be thankful, grateful to God for the plans he has for us. Now, this is illustrated throughout all of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, and we could spend the remainder of our time just looking at what he's done for individuals in the Scriptures and the overall promises. But I just want to use this one verse because it's common and people know it. I know this verse is particular for a particular people at a particular time, but I think it's transferable in its promises for all people. Because it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Every person in Christ ought to listen to this message and go, God did not just stumble upon you. No, God, since the foundation of the world, has had his mind on you and a plan for you. You weren't an afterthought. You weren't an obligation. You were a treasure that God picked out to show his grace in, and he has a plan for your life. Many plans, actually. You think, well, people often say, well, I wonder what God's plan is for me. Well, let me just open the Bible and say the many plans that he has for you. It's not just one thing, as if you missed that one thing, you've missed it. No, there are a lot of things. His plan for you is to be saved. His plan for you is that you would be sanctified in the Holy Spirit. His plan for you is that you would suffer for his name's sake, be counted worthy for that, and that you would demonstrate and share the glory of God. That's his plan for you, and he's working that out by his grace. He has plans for you, many things. He's gifted you and wired you in unique ways that you're not to be someone else, but you're to be the image of Christ as God has created you to be. Plans I have for you. You know, life is not an accident. You were created for his reasons and his purposes, and he is working those things out. Your parents may not have planned for you, but you're here. But God has always had a plan for you. There are no illegitimate children in this world. There may be a few illegitimate parents, but there is not one child that is not from the plan of God. You hear that? I believe in the sanctity of human life. And if this child, by God's providence, is being brought into this world, God has an incredible plan for that child's life. We ought to participate more in the life of this next generation to see what God would do if we would just love them and show them God's ways. We are thankful for his plans that he has for us. God's plan is so good that he can even take, this is amazing, he can even take our mistakes and our failures and our sins and our distractions and take all of that and work in that good to forgive us in the midst of that and to work out not our perfect life but his perfect plan through our mess to accomplish his perfect will. Are you thankful for that? I'm thankful that God doesn't work on a domino system. When I was a kid, did anybody ever set up dominoes like I did? I set them up on the table, and I'd go through this whole thing, and you get like, you know, 200 dominoes finally set up, and you want to hit the end and see it all work out, and just perfect. I rarely could get it perfect. Somewhere near the middle, I'd miss that corner piece, and it would just stop. And I'm glad God doesn't work on that type of plan going, oh, we missed the domino. Sorry, your life's over. Your life's not going to work out. God doesn't work like that. God is not finding mistakes and going, well, I can't work with that anymore. God sees and knows all things about your life, and he will work out his perfect plan in through it all. I don't feel like it. At 20, I blew it, so there's no hope for me. At 45, there's no hope for me because, well, I've messed up here. You know, at 65, God's done with me. At 85, God certainly couldn't do anything more with me. Listen to me, if you're still breathing, is everybody still breathing, by the way? Look at the person next to you, just make sure. If you're still breathing, guess what? God still has plans for you now. Don't retire from what God has for you. If you're still breathing and living, it means he's still got something in store. So here's the second thing. He has plans for us. Here's the third thing. The home he's prepared for you. Be grateful to God for the home he's prepared for you. In 2 Corinthians, I love the entire passage, chapter 4 and chapter 5, and kind of the getting you towards thinking less about this world and more about the next. But Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home, you know, touch your body, that's a tent, it's temporary, it's our earthly home, is destroyed, which every day we're seeing that being destroyed in a sense of things are beginning to fail, destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, human hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, just consider that. He has more to say in that entire chapter, but consider this. He's like, this is why I hate social media, because everybody wants to display how awesome their body is. I'm thinking, I thought it was supposed to be social. That's not social. That's just putting your body on display when it really shouldn't be there at all. But see, what do people do? Look at how I work out. Look at what I eat. Oh, buy my products because of this. Oh, look at how awesome I am. And I'm thinking, all you've got is a Coleman tent that you're trying to stay in over the weekend. You know, this is how I said it. It's like, great, you know what? I'm glad that they're taking care of their bodies. It doesn't make me feel more guilty that I should be doing it like they do, you know, spending 8 hours in the gym a day. You know, great, do that. But listen to me. If that's where your focus is, you've forgotten that this is a temporary world. Take care of your body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You should eat well and do well. But listen to me. If your whole focus is doing that, you're going to be disappointed when you're moving out of that tent. And you're not prepared to move into a house that God has built for you. Because my guess is if your focus is on this all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's probably not on God at all. Now, it doesn't mean if you're fat and lazy, you're focused on God more either, all right? Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is, look at this. We can be thankful that he's prepared a home. This, no matter how well we take care of this, it's still a tent. It's temporary. It can be moved easily. It can be blown away in the wind. You're not going to stay in a tent on the side of the beach when the hurricane's coming by. But there is something God is preparing for you when you trust in him. When your vision is on him and not on you, you begin to think that and know that there is something greater that will not be blown away in any tornado, that won't be blown away in anything Satan tries to throw at you. There is going to be a perfect plan, a perfect home that is permanent for you. It's a building compared to just a tent from God. And it's eternal. I know we don't think about that much. We think more about the day-to-day. Have I eaten breakfast? Am I feeling okay? You know, I've got aches and pains in my body. Wednesday night, I took two of my girls over to the Operation Christmas Child Processing Center. Great place to go. You need to go work with the boxes. But, you know, there was a young boy working on the long line where they put the large boxes. They put 16 of the shoe boxes into the big boxes. And then we process those. We put those on a crate, and they take them away. And I saw this young boy struggling. He couldn't pick up the heavy boxes and put it up on the fourth layer. So I'm like, I need to go over and help him. What am I doing at 45 years old helping a 16-year-old put boxes up high? Well, I got into the process of doing that. And you know when you start doing things, hey, this is all right, this is all right. You know what I felt like on Thursday morning? I wanted to die. I don't think anybody in my family understood how sore I was feeling. My body was struggling. And I just thank the Lord, I'm not going to be processing boxes in heaven. My body's not going to go through that. But I'm thankful I got to participate in that. But listen to me. We've got a home prepared for us, and it is great from our Maker. Here's the fourth thing you need to be thankful for: the changes he is making in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, just one verse out of many that illustrate that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, that's the greatest change right there. But God is not done changing you. There is a sanctifying process that he's working through you. There are things that I don't desire today that I did when I was younger. There are things just a few years ago that I struggled with that God has worked through and helped me move beyond. Now, he's not done with me. There's a lot of things that I still need to be more sanctified, more holy with. But God is not giving up on me. He is changing me. And it's sometimes hard to see that. That's why I encourage people, write some stuff down once in a while. You know, just kind of document it. Don't just take pictures of your life as you go through. Write some things down, because if you go back, look back a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, ago, what is it you were like, and what has God done in you now? That just ought to thrill your heart, that God is still working, even when you don't notice it, because it may be small, incremental changes. Slowly but surely, God is going to accomplish his perfect will in you. And he's not done. If you're still breathing, he's not done. And we ought to be thankful. God is changing me to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. So those are four things we can be thankful for any day, every day. Let me talk just briefly here, and I've got somebody who's going to share a testimony in a few moments. But give God thanks by. How do we give God thanks? We give God thanks by first singing. There's just a few things in Scripture I found that it says, this is what you ought to do. You want to thank me? This is how you can do this. First is by singing. In Psalm 147, verse 7, read this out loud with me. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Now, that's pretty simple to see, all right? It doesn't take a theologian, somebody with a master's degree or a doctorate degree in theology. You read that, a first grader would understand. How do we say thank you to God? We sing. It ought to be the overflow of our heart to sing. And I know some of you go, well, I can't sing. You know, you're more like I am. You know, you couldn't carry a tune in a Ziploc baggie if you had it. All right, so, I mean, I understand that. But you know what the Bible says? You can sing with a joyful noise. You, whatever you process, whatever's in your heart, give back to God in voice. God, the music does something for people. And here I'm going to say this, and I know it's a struggle for some people to understand. I'm more word-oriented than I am song-oriented. You know, when we sing here, I'm more focused on the content than I am the style. I really am. When I'm in my car, I rarely listen to music. For some of you, are like, you are strange. Oh, I can't do anything without music on. I understand that. The majority of the world is more music-oriented, moved by the melodies of things. I understand that. I'm in the small little percentage of the world who just goes, if it was silent, it'd be great. You understand, I live in a home with a lot of noise. All right. But I understand that music is a gift from God. So even in the midst of that, doesn't move me. You know, some people go, well, you always like this kind of music or that kind of music. I'm thinking, if you really knew who I was, you'd realize I'm pretty neutral about that. It doesn't matter to me. I read the words and I'm going, that is praiseworthy. The style never has made any difference to me. I know it makes a difference to the you, though. I do. In the 25 years I've been in ministry, I have heard this more than I could count. We're going to show up a little late to the service. I hope you don't mind. We don't really care for the music. We're just going to come for the preaching. I've heard that for over 25 years of my ministry. And you know what kind of style they were talking about? Every kind. It didn't matter if we were at Garland, Texas with the big pipe organ, and people would say, well, we just don't like that. And they're just going to come for the preaching. I don't care if it was the rock band when I saw that in college, and it was just kind of crazy, but I was doing an internship somewhere, and they just didn't want to come to that. Or, you know, the piano, or the guitar, or the drums. Every kind of style, people say, well, I'm just going to come for the preaching. I think we rob ourselves when we limit ourselves to say, I can't worship unless it's this style, and I can't, I'm not going to participate in the music because I'm just not musical, or I don't care for that kind of music. I think we rob ourselves of the glory and presence of Christ because he says, Praise from the heart is thanksgiving. And how do you express that? Through music. And he does not say what style. And I guarantee you, I doubt any of us just want to have a harp every Sunday like David would play when he wrote that song. Every generation has different styles, and I know we talk about this, but I'm just telling you, music, connect yourself to God through music. That's more the embrace than a particular style or preference. And I'm speaking to every generation in this room. So we may have our internal battles on some of this stuff, but ultimately, I think that's the wrong focus. The focus ought to always be on Christ, and am I giving him my best in whatever environment I'm in? Here's the second thing beyond singing. Serving. The scripture says how we can thank him is by serving. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, and I'm using this out of the New American Standard Version so we can understand it a little better. It says, let us show gratitude. All right, how do we do that? By which we may offer to God an acceptable service as we serve him. Our worship is how we serve. We serve other people, ultimately, as we're serving God. Cold water in Jesus' name. That we serve. We find ways to thank him by giving back, to move forward where we can serve other people. The motive for serving God, the motive for using our talents and gifts, is a heart of gratitude. He has granted us these things, so how can we use them for his glory and other people's benefit? Here's the third thing, is giving. Psalm 50, verse 14, I put it up in two different translations. ESV, English Standard Version, the first one. It says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Read that, it says very lofty. And I think it's right. And then the International Children's Bible. Oftentimes I'll look at Bibles that simplify things a little more, just so everybody in the room can understand it, especially the children in the room. And you see what it says here? Using that same verse, this is how it's translated. Give an offering to show thanks to God. Give God Most High what you have promised. Basically what that means. When he has given us so much abundance, so much blessing, and we say, oh God, if you would just bless us, we want to bless you back. We wish, oh God, if you'll get me out of the situation, I'll do this. Basically, he's calling us on it, going, look, give back to God what you've already said you want to give. Oh God, I came to you and I'm going to give you my whole heart. And then next week, well, maybe half my heart, you know, a couple of weeks later, maybe a third of my heart. And we just get less and less committed. I wonder sometimes, do we give out of convenience or out of conviction? And out of commitment? One of the ways we thank God is how we participate in giving. God, you've granted us so much, and I see someone in need, and I remember when I was in need, but I'm not in need now. I've got an abundance, and I see someone in need, and I want to serve you and thank you for giving me an overflow where I can bless someone else. I mean, that happened this morning in one of our Sunday school classes. I was talking to Jim Jennings, and just they gathered up some money for someone in need. I think they do that quite often. It's just testimony. I think there are others who do that all the time. This is why, by the way, I think you ought to be far more diligent about your finances than we are as a nation. We live in debt. When we live in debt, you don't have an abundance to give. We're always in a position of need. When you're wiser about your finances, when you budget, when you eat beans and rice for a while, if you have to, in order to get out of the bondage of debt, when you are able to put that as an even scale, that you're living high on the hog, but you're not going to be a slave to the lender anymore, when you live within your means, which was probably not seen and displayed on Black Friday for people, but when you live within your means and you budget well, then when you have some extra, you know what God's going to bless you with? The blessing of giving. But you won't understand that unless you ever get there. That you can be in a position where you can really help. And that's one of the ways we thank God. We give an offering. Look for places of need. Both in the ministry that you serve in here and the other people that you interact with. If we're not giving, we're not grateful. Let me suggest a few habits that you could put into your life. It's a great time, the greatest time as ever, Thanksgiving. But I think on an annual way, you ought to develop this kind of habit in your life. You ought to review your commitment to giving, at least annually. All right, I know every year, you know, that you're getting your tax things, you know, taken care of and all, and you're starting to look at maybe where you can contribute. Well, review it every year. Where am I? Maybe 5 years ago, you had this kind of income. Great. And you were able to give. At this time now, you're at a different level. You're either higher or lower, and maybe you need to review. What is it that God wants me to give now? Don't think about, well, I used to give all kinds of stuff a long time ago. Well, what are you doing now in the means that God has given you? So you ought to review annually your commitment to giving. Are you committed, like I said, are you committed to giving by convenience or just conviction and commitment? Is your giving right now stretching your faith? Or is it just in a position of comfort? Does your giving show how much you really love Christ and His church and believe that He meets all of your needs? Not only should you review, you ought to renew your commitment. Don't just go on an old vow. Make a new commitment. God, this month, this year, this is what I want to do. This is what I think you want me to do, and I'm going to fulfill that. Recommit your heart of thankfulness displayed in your giving. Not only review and renew, I think you ought to outdo where you can. Outdo your commitments, your previous commitments. Sometimes God may be taking you up a notch. There's basically four levels of giving that I see in the scriptures. There's an initial giver. I've never given anything to anybody. I've always been a recipient. You know, and as children grow older and they move from being in the house to be a recipient to now a responsible adult, this is a new position for them. Oh, I need to learn to give more, look for opportunities where it's not an obligation, it's a blessing. So there's the initial giving. That's first stage. I'm going to try this. I'm going to give. I'll give to my church. I'll give to when I see need. I won't always be the person who has to receive, but I'll give. So that's an initial. Then you ought to get to a consistent giving time. Whatever that amount is, I'm going to consistently do it. It's not just going to be haphazard, not just when a hurricane comes by. You know, I'm going to give consistently as a habit. It's going to be in my budget. So go from initial to consistent. Then you ought to get to a proportional giver. I'm going to go to a percent. Maybe I'm going to go to 5%. Maybe I'm going to go to 10%. Maybe I'm going to stretch this year and go to 11%. So if you're a consistent giver, then you get to be a proportional giver where you're going to even move up your percentage of availability in your budget to see that God will meet all your needs. The fourth stage is sacrificial giver. Give even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. Because there's where you'll see that God truly does meet your needs and you bless others. Oh, I've got several illustrations about that, but I've got to move on. Outdo. Here's the fourth thing. How do we thank God? We sing, we serve, we give, and I think we need to proclaim. It says here in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4, give thanks to the Lord. How do we do that? How do we thank God? We call upon His name and we make known His deeds. Among the peoples, we're going to tell everybody how great He is. We're showing our thankfulness to Him by proclaiming how great He is to everybody else that needs to know it. Proclaim that His name is exalted. His name is on our lips more than anybody else's name. More than any sports star, and more than any political character, and more than any movie star or musician. God's name is who we want to proclaim. And that shows our thankfulness and recognition of who we know He is in our lives. Some people don't know how thankful we are to God because we never tell them. We take the credit for things, or we just kind of bypass things. Here's one of the frustrating things that's always been true in my life, in a sense. You know, even before I was involved in church ministry, that people would always beg people to pray. Oh, pray for this situation. Pray for the health of somebody. Oh, pray for my job and pray for this and that and the other. And they ask for all kinds of prayers. The prayer list is, you know, 50 pages long. Do you know how often we get a list of the answers to those prayers? Now, God answers yes, no, and wait. But we're very eager to seek prayer and answers from him, but we're not as diligent about proclaiming how he has answered to the masses. Yes, if you have cancer and God heals for you from it, I've seen people who want to proclaim that because it seemed more dire. But hey, would you pray that I do okay on this test? How many people have come back to me and say, I did great on that test, thank you for your prayers? It happens, but far less frequently. Next time you ask someone for prayer, you be diligent to go back and let them know how God answered at that time and praise his holy name. If we're going to be thankful people, we need to be proclaiming people, proclaiming about his goodness and his answers and his sufficiency, his grace. Several things that we could be thankful for. I'm going to have Kelly Carter come down and share with us some of her thanks that she wants to proclaim to us. And as she makes her way down, I'm going to share with you just a couple of other entries, emails that I've got. One of the thanksgiving that happened just this last week was with my 9-year-old son, with Mr. Don Thompson. Go ahead and come up, Kelly. Don had been trying to give an opportunity for Jeremiah to go fishing. And so we went on Tuesday. A little cool, but actually it got a little warmer. We got on the water. And Kelly, believe this or not, this is not a fishing story. We caught more fish than we could actually keep. We caught probably about 80 fish, threw back about half of them because, well, after you fish for a while and you're going, well, the bigger ones are now in the boat and we'll throw out these little guys, you know, little bass or whatever. And we brought home 39 fish that Jennifer and I cleaned. And you know what? I was thankful every time I got to clean one of those fish, Don, because Jeremiah had a great time. God blessed us, and we're going to benefit from eating that fish really soon. But those are the kind of things. You know, God blesses us far more than we acknowledge. I'm going to turn this on. Share with us. You can hold this or just let it be there.
Okay. You know, at the beginning of the sermon, the pastor said that God is at work in every second of every moment of every day, and that's something that we have to be thankful for. And I've been reminded a lot lately of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where it tells us to be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes those all circumstances are tough. Either it's something that we don't want for ourselves, we don't know that we need, or they're just ordinary things that we take for granted. And it's funny sometimes when we think about sharing a testimony of God's work in our lives, that I've often been guilty of thinking I don't really have anything to share. Either people already know what's going on in my life, or it's just kind of ordinary. I don't have anything earth-shattering that I need to share or that would be worth sharing. But those two things that I just mentioned, the fact that God is at work and that it is his will for us to be thankful, give us two reasons to share any time we have a chance to talk to one person, 12 people, or 2,000 people, as he said, to proclaim God's goodness and to be thankful for what he's doing. I am learning slowly, but surely, that because his mercies are new every morning and great is his faithfulness, that we do have something to be thankful for. The fact that he's working together all things for good according to his purpose to bring glory to himself and to make me more like him, that's also something that I have to be thankful for. And I always have something worth sharing in that case. He sent out a recent email asking us what we were thankful for, and I took that as just an exercise for my good to think about things that I may not ordinarily think about that I'm thankful for. But it's been kind of neat over these last couple of weeks of how God has reminded me specifically of two blessings that I hadn't even really considered. So while I'm definitely thankful for things like my faith and my salvation, for food and family, a warm place to be at night, a place to lay my head, and on, things that I take for granted every day. I'm also thankful for second chances and a God who never leaves me. You see, Deuteronomy 31, Isaiah 41, Matthew 28, and I'm sure lots of other places remind us that God is always with us and he goes before us. And I found that to be true in all the circumstances of my life, the good ones, the bad ones, the ordinary ones. And I've been particularly reminded of it these last couple of years. I'll give you a little backstory. My name is Kelly Carter. I'm wife to Chip, who's sitting in the back. And I have 16-year-old daughter Rebecca, a 14-year-old son Will, and a 2-year-old son Grayson. And it was about this time 2 years ago that we were surprised by a diagnosis of ovarian cancer, stage 4. So we went through a surgery and 6 months of chemotherapy. God brought us the blessing of healing, and throughout that time, he was with me. I remember being in the hospital day as we sang Good, Good Father. And that song I played every night. Someone sent it to us, a blessing from God. I'm thankful for that person sending it to us to remind me that he is a good, good father. And as we went through that, we saw God's providence and his provision constantly. He was with us constantly. And we got through that time, and scans showed that the cancer was in remission, was gone. And we were thrilled. We were thankful. We praised God. But I was really convicted last week as the pastor shared the story of the 10 lepers. They were healed. 9 went on to do probably good things, but one couldn't go forward to do those good things of being with his family, taking care of them, doing the job that he'd been called to do until he went back to lay at Christ's feet, to praise him, to thank him, and to proclaim loudly what he had done. That's really been in my head. I said I wasn't going to cry. This last week in particular. I was more like a kid who received a sum of money from Dad, ran up and gave him a kiss on the cheek, and then ran forward to spend it. I was focused on saying thank you to God, praising him, but then moving forward to do things and to, in my own self-sufficiency, try to keep this cancer from coming back. But as you've reminded us a couple of times, these bodies are our tents. Yeah. And while I feel strong and healthy right now, and I'm in good shape, It is a temporary body, and I need to take that for what it is. I need to focus on caring for it. It's the temple that he's given me. I need to be wise, but I need to focus more on my heart and on what he does each and every day to care for my soul as well as my body. And that's something that I've been reminded of. So fast forward, my cancer did return. Thank God, it seems to have been caught very early and was very small, and we're very thankful for that. And at the moment, I'm trying to finish 18 weeks of chemotherapy that I started in August. Once again, God's reminded me of that Deuteronomy 31, because he's been with us throughout this whole time once again. Many weeks when I come in, my blood work shows that my immunity is 0, but he's kept me strong enough and well enough to be here to worship with you every week, and I'm thankful for that. If I shake your wrist instead of your hand, it's just me trying to make sure that I'm not passing or catching anything. But he has kept me. He sustained me. The second blessing that he's reminded me of, though, is he's the God of second chances. Yes, we are hopeful that he's providing a second chance of healing. It appears so through blood work. And we'll know more than when they do a scan at the end of treatment. That's not why I'm crying, really. But I mean the second chance to be like that one leper. I want to be like the one who went back, who basked in God's glory, who thanked him, and then proclaimed loudly what God had done. And I want to thank him. And, you know, as far as I said, we are hopeful. I know that, like I said, this body is a tent. God doesn't always take things away from us physically. And I'm like anybody else, I struggle with that sometimes still. But I know deep in my heart of hearts that even if he doesn't take it away completely or it comes back, that he will be with me. He goes before me. And he will give me the strength and the breath for everything that I have to face. So remember that even if we face circumstances that we wouldn't choose, or we don't have the knowledge enough yet to know that they're good for us, we can remember that he's with us, that he goes before us. He's working for our good to be more like him, to bring himself glory, and that he loves us too much to give us less than what's best for us. And while I wrote out everything I thought I was going to say and probably didn't say half of it in the way I was supposed to, listening to this sermon here and being convicted of last week, those are the things that I have most to be thankful for. One, that he is the God of second chances, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, or whatever his circumstance may be, and that through those circumstances, he is always with us, and he always goes before us and is behind us and has our backs. And those are the things that I'm most thankful for this year. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, amen. And we'll continue to be in constant prayer for you and your family as you go through this journey. You know, God allows both pain and pleasure in our lives, battles and blessings. In all of it, God is still there. Just in conclusion, I was reminded of Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas, you know, were heading around the nations proclaiming the gospel, and they were prohibited from going to Upper Galatia and rerouted and ended up going to Philippi. And they're proclaiming the gospel in Philippi, establishing the church, but because they're doing that, then all of a sudden the authorities capture them. They beat them senseless and threw them in prison. That's not something I want to sign up for. I mean, physical ailment, you know, is not something that you go, well, where is, you know, God's blessing me here? No, I'm doing his will, and then all of a sudden I'm getting beat up over this. My body is just being tortured. And in the midst of that prison, if you remember the story, they're in prison, it's midnight, everybody's asleep, even the jailer is asleep. And then you hear the voice of Paul and Silas singing praises and thanksgiving to God. How annoying that would be to an unbeliever in the prison cell. What in the world do you have to thank God for? You just got beaten. You're in prison because you're worshiping your God. And all you're going to do is praise God, the God who allowed you to sit in this prison now? Yeah, even in the midst of all of the tragedy that's going on in their life, they sang praises and thanksgiving to God. And you know what God did with that? He sent an earthquake and he began to shake. And he shook the foundations of that prison so much so that the doors flew open. The jailer wakes up and he's startled. Actually, he's scared to death because now he's thinking all the prisoners have escaped. And under the Roman law, I'm going to be killed because I allowed these men to escape. But before he falls on his own sword, Paul calls out, "No, we're still here. We're here. We're just singing praises to God, basically. We're just worshiping the Lord who has provided this opportunity and opened these doors." And then the jailer says this. He said, "What must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to have the faith in a God that does not shake the foundation of your life? He just establishes you in faith in him. What do I need with that?" You know what caused that earthquake? God hearing the prayers of thanksgiving from his people, even when things looked awful. I wonder how many of you are sitting in prison today in your life. You're sitting in a prison of depression or financial strain. You're sitting in a situation where your relationships are shattered, and you're just sitting there and you're moping, how in the world? You've got health issues, and you're just like, I'm sitting in this prison. What are you going to do when you're in prison and it just doesn't look like there's any hope? The Bible would give you illustration that you ought to just start singing thanksgiving to God that he has not abandoned you. And if you're ever going to get out of a hopeless situation, you ought to focus on him. Don't run from God when he's the only answer we have. I wonder how many prison doors would be wide open if we would just have a heart to be truly thankful. And then the world would know, and they'd be asking us, how can we have the faith that you have? Your thankfulness, your abundant heart for God is so overwhelming. I want that too. Boy, may the world see a church that's thankful, so they too would desire our God. Let's pray together. As our ushers are preparing to receive our offering, Father, I just pray that you would you truly do a work on our own soul. A heart of gratitude is life-changing. And I think so many times we may just say thank you, but our lips and our heart are disconnected. And Father, there is so much evidence in Scripture. Those who knew you best thanked you most. So I pray today you would prick our hearts, you would draw us closer to you, and I pray that the overwhelming gratitude that we can have would actually influence those in our families, in our neighborhoods, and in our world. Father, may we truly be thankful, like the one leper who came back, like Kelly who came today, who have a heart for you. Pray that you'd bless the offering and you'd use it for your kingdom and that more people would be saved and understand your will. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.